Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it on YouTube to make sure you're always getting that new Going In Raw content. Be sure also to subscribe to us. No, what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. I was doing so good. We're also on podcast apps everywhere. And if you really want to help Going In Raw, you can. I don't see you doing the intro at all. Don't look at me like that. If you really want to help the show, you can get on your podcast app and leave us a rating or a review. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where we currently have 61 people watching the live stream version of this podcast. You can be one of those people for $5 a month. Catch all of our recaps in live stream form. We have pre-show, a post-show. It's a lot of fun. Everybody's talking about wrestling. They're all cool people.
Yeah.
Come visit them. Come say hi. And you're really, really helping Going In Raw grow. In Raw.
Growing In Raw.
Growing In Raw is our mantra for 2018. We also have a pro wrestling tee shop, prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
This is one of them right here.
This is the one I have Booker T on my shirt today.
This week, I am going to create a new t-shirt.
Will it be real?
It'll be real. Absolutely. All my t-shirts are real.
I like to think all of our t-shirts are real.
I agree. They're all real. Anyways, we are here to talk about...
Okay, so I'm going to pick up my phone really quick.
But then I'm going to put it back down. That's my New Year's resolution. Less phone.
I
but
like it.
Listen, there's one thing I need to do.
Shout out patrons.
On the phone. New I haven't patrons. Done this in a while.
True.
And so I like to do this. I'm going to be back on a weekly thing. I think I sort of dropped the ball towards the end of 2017.
Well, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. But I like to give a shout out to our new patrons.
It's good.
Because, you know, they're putting in money and they deserve it. They deserve. So I'm just going to go back to, like, I don't know, Christmas. We'll do this. Jonathan Perea, Justin Stein, Stephen Thacker, Farhan Bilgrami, J. Ray 95, James Topp, Kyle Moshinsky, Cy Lux, Evaldus Pumpulus. Oh, came back. I remember Evaldus Pumpulus. Chris, how do you say this last name? Oschick. I think it's Oschick.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Arthur G. Lopez, Gary Doyle, Steamed Ham Champion Dylan Haggett. I remember Dylan. Dylan's back. That's great. Callie Loki, Ty Symbiote, Ricky Aloof, Zachary Salas, Mike James, Rory Grace, Terrence Carter, the 360 Archangel, Craig Ringel, Chris Syed, Man Meat Rana, Be Quiet Son, WTAF Wrestling, Tony41AU, Stefan Johann Halsbach, Robert Carey, Chris Kimmel, Michael Lent, Return of the Zach.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Blue Monkey, Derek Wallen, and John N. Roberts. All pledged, and we want to say thank you very much for your support.
Yes, thank you.
If anybody got left out, just send me a direct message either on Twitter or on the Patreon.
Let's mention this too. Matt Chat is back every Sunday.
Yeah.
So if you're a $20 up patron, send us your video questions.
Yeah.
You got topics for us to debate? Send them our way. Every week we're doing it. So yeah, just want to get the word out there so people know.
Need
to know.
I love the Matt Chat. There's one other shout out I want to give on the Patreon, and then we'll start talking about what I thought was a really fun Raw. Largely because we get the Finn Balor that I think that we've always wanted. We've always wanted this Finn
Balor. Real Finn Balor.
One more shout out here is to John Wallace from his girlfriend or wife, Heidi App. She hit me up before Christmas, and I sent out the Friendo Care package.
Yes.
She put it on the Patreon, like the $50 mark, and I want to make sure that I got that out there as well. So if anybody out there hasn't gotten your shout out, just let me know either on the Patreon in a direct message or my DMs are open on Twitter. Hit me up, and I'll give you a shout out. Anyways, let's talk about Raw.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
No, it was, I thought it was good. I went to a Kings game last night. I watched the first hour at home before the game, and then I went to the game with Dad. And then came home and watched the rest of it on my couch late at night. I thought it was fun. I didn't think it really dragged at all. I could be.
No, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, in ideal circumstances, if I get to watch it night of, I get about a half hour buffer so I can fast forward through commercials.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
And it really speeds things
along.
Yeah,
no, I agree with that completely.
Having to sit through 3 hours of wrestling and have to deal with all the commercials is a bit much.
Yeah.
So if you can bypass the commercials for the most part, it makes for a far more enjoyable experience.
Absolutely.
Kicked off with Roman Reigns. Promo.
So he comes down. I think I was still, so like the first 3 minutes of the show, two and a half minutes is like recaps.
Yeah.
It's like a video promo thing. And I always fast forward through that.
Same.
What was his reaction? Do you remember his reaction?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
Dang it. Ooh.
I didn't watch it. On
it's our entire job.
Volume.
Here's the thing about Roman Reigns though.
It sounded like there was some, it was still a split reaction, but I kind of feel like there's more people cheering him now.
Yeah, I know. I got that too. And his reaction is so, I love when he just gets in the ring and he just starts soaking it all in. And he starts looking up at all the different people. That's a fascinating, that has to be a fascinating experience for a human being to watch 10,000 people or 12,000, whatever it is, react to your very presence.
In a variety of ways.
And in a multitude of ways, yes. Exactly.
And it's got to be different from city to city, region to region, state to state.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, exactly.
You know, you go to Philadelphia and they basically throw stuff at you.
So J.S. Wooten here in chat said Memphis is a smirk crowd.
Oh.
He says, so they went full heel on him.
Even with that, I didn't hear, it wasn't like overwhelmingly boos.
Yeah, yeah. They were, I think they were wetting him at some point. Or they, were they wetting him? I don't know. Anyways.
There were whats.
Yeah, he came out, started delivering a promo.
Talking about beating Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Saying, once again, you mess with one member of the Shield, you mess with all of us.
Mess with the entirety of the Shield. Yeah.
Yes. Out comes Jason Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's acting like he's a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
Yeah.
New S.H.I.E.L.D.
New S.H.I.E.L.D.
And he likes to speak for not only himself, but also his tag team partner, Seth Rollins.
This is a really amusing Jason Jordan.
I think he's been doing stellar work the last few weeks.
He's playing this role really, really well. It's it's kind of a dangerous game they're playing with him long term, because this is the kind of thing that if it's not done, if the turn isn't done right, if the turn, then the other turn isn't done right, it could like really, really kill him.
Yeah.
But he's a fantastic wrestler, and he's found something he could do personality-wise really, really well.
Yes.
And that's be really annoying.
Yeah.
And really overstepping his bounds.
But being kind of oblivious to how annoying
right.
he is.
Exactly.
Like he comes across as very earnest.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He's not trying to be annoying.
Right.
He just wants to be a part of something.
He does that role very, very well. Of course, Seth and Roman are kind of besides themselves because he puts his fist out for Roman. And Roman just sort of stares at it and he's like, what am I supposed to do with this? Because Roman, like, credit to Roman, he kind of doesn't want to be a dick about it, apparently.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know exactly.
He's not going to Superman punch him.
Yeah, he's not going to do that. He's not going to spear him. But he's also not going to put his fist in.
No.
You know, because that's like sacrilege.
Yeah, because at that moment, Seth comes out and says, last week you had to learn a thing or two about teamwork, and now you have to learn about timing. You came out here and you stole Reigns' moment.
Yes, that's right. So anyways, Jason Jordan proceeds to say, look, man, we're the most, in essence, he took the scenic route, but he said, we're the most dominant three-man force in the WWE.
Cue up Balor Club.
All right, man. I don't know. I kind of remember in vague terms last year post Wrestle Kingdom that, and I don't remember specifics. I could be making this up. But I seem to, maybe it was just the AJ Styles versus John Cena match, which was off the hook.
Yeah.
Maybe we were like, man, something. I think maybe I made a joke. Man, they were watching Wrestle Kingdom because they put on a stellar match.
Maybe.
I felt like there were some things that felt like WWE was kind of paying attention. They were responding to it. They are going all in on this Bullet Club thing. They know that they, like, all of a sudden they've realized we need to do something with Finn, apparently.
Yeah.
We're putting him with the club, with what he knows best. And this is the first time we've seen hints of his New Japan personality, the Prince Devitt personality.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. You check out the promos that he used to do.
Yeah.
We're getting hints of that Finn Balor.
What was his line to Jason Jordan?
He said, Jason, you think you guys are the top three-man team in WWE. I've been doing this with Gallows and Anderson for 10 years before you even knew who your dad was. And he starts laughing. Oh my, that is a sick burn, man. It is. That is harsh. That was awesome. And he started laughing and they too sweet it all over. And he and Finn has the happiest smile on his face. It is
that tweet he sent this morning that we included on the thumbnail.
We put on a thumbnail, yeah.
I'm so happy.
It's and you could tell, and it's so much fun. And it's a faction, mm-hmm. and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I love it. I love every second of it now because that's the one thing. And it always fascinated me that they would bring this dude over from New Japan who had such personality, and they bring him in based solely on kind of his cool look.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's good in the ring. He's a great storyteller. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was a combination, it seems like, of his look, and then also the demon aspect.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He used to do kind of something like that. Yeah, in Japan, sure. But I don't think it was quite as full fledged.
The Joker and stuff.
Quite
like
as full fledged as it is now.
Yeah. So it always fascinated me that they never wanted to go that route. They sort of oddly in NXT they played it safe with him.
Oh yeah, you know? Very
he
much
just
so.
Came out and he looked cool, and he did the demon stuff, and that was.
Sorry.
Is that breaking news?
Yeah. So, anyways. And now we're getting that.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating to me. I don't know what the change is. I don't know why they've decided to go in this direction.
They have some major plans coming up for them.
I would love to think that. Did you notice? I don't know if you noticed this or not. We'll talk about the details of the conversation because, again, it was awesome.
Yes.
The backstage segment where they're in the locker room, mm-hmm. the Balor Club now, and the backdrop was all lit in blue.
Oh, I didn't notice
that. Ooh, shades of things to
foreshadowing.
Come.
Foreshadowing.
Maybe. Anyways. They essentially challenge Jordan Shield to a match.
An angle?
Oh, no, yeah. So they
walk down the ring.
Yeah, they walk down there. Oh, yeah, and they almost get into it. Gallows calls Jordan a nerd. I love that Finn is in on the nerd stuff, too. He doesn't shout nerd or anything, but he's in on the setup, which is great. They almost go at it, or they start to go at it. Everybody's pulled away. Kurt Angle comes out and says
we don't have a main event. I don't know why you'd start your show without a main event.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyways, now he has our main event.
Yeah.
It'll be Balor Club against New Shield.
I love it, man. We'll talk more about this when we get to the locker room segment, of course, the main event. But I think it's fantastic. I think I'll just say this one last part. The ceiling on Balor Club is so flipping high. And the closest, this may be a stretch, but the closest analogy I can think of at this point is potentially Naito. Naito is supposed to be a heel. Naito does heelish things.
But he's
L.I.J.
Like the super cool heel.
He's the super cool heel that nobody's going to boo.
Yeah.
Everybody loves him. And if they play this right,
it will be real.
Finn Balor will be real. Next up, we had Sasha Banks and Bayley versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Mickie James came out with Sasha and Bayley,
mm-hmm.
and then Paige joined her Absolution faction mates.
Yeah,
ringside.
Mandy Rose is a decent wrestler.
Yeah, her knee is stiff.
I know. I was into this. This is cool. Anyways, Mandy Rose ended up tapping out to the bank statement.
Sonya Deville, if she started the match, this is a small detail, but I noticed with her hair down, usually she has it up.
Sure.
And then midway through, while she was talking trash to Sasha, she put it up. I don't know if that was like, because she seemed annoyed by it. Mm. But I don't know. She has that catchphrase is
hair up, square up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a thing now.
Yeah, no, this is the first time I was wondering if they were actually incorporating it into the match.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen it before, but I know a couple people on Twitter noticed, hey, her hair is down. She looks a certain way. Some people liked it. Some people didn't. Let's see here. But
halfway through, she put it up. When she was talking trash.
I like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
If you're going to say hair up, put your hair up.
Yeah.
That's good. It's a detail. Let's see here. Cedric Alexander backstage.
And of course, Goldust doing like a Mickey from Rocky thing.
Yeah. Hyping him up for his big cruiserweight match because finally Enzo was back from flu.
Yeah, the influenzo.
Although he might have regretted that given what happened in that match. Oh my gosh.
Goldust is backstage with Cedric trying to hype him up for the match.
Mm-hmm,
prepare him. He says, Cedric, the only thing that's in your way is you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Cedric's like, all right, I'm going to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Next, the in-ring debut of Woken Matt Hardy.
I love the theme music.
Why do they have the Hardy Boys Titantron?
Oh, that bugged me too.
Why?
I don't know why.
Give me some drone shots.
Anything. Here's the thing. If you're not prepared for that, that's fine. Put anything up. Like literally
Just put that Woken thing they make on repeat.
Yeah, right.
Just do that.
anything else that isn't just leftovers.
Like, I know.
It's old. That's not the thing anymore.
I know.
So in Impact, Rebbe would play the music live. Mm-hmm. They need to get to that point.
I know.
ASAP.
I know. Maybe they will I'm guarantee you they will for Mania. That's my prediction. Mania, okay. She's going to come out and play. Right.
People would pop huge for that.
I know. Because Mania, I'm sure it'll be Wilkin, Matt versus Bray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Anyways, during this, I think during the entrance.
They had the picture-in-picture. He cut a promo saying he's in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will throw 29 other souls over.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Let's see here.
Hardy wins with a twist of fate because it's against Curt Hawkins. Of course he wins. After the match, Bray Wyatt teleports to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
Come back. And they just stare at each other and have a laugh off.
Yeah.
They need to do something more than just this laughing business.
Well, I agree. I agree because it doesn't really fit Bray Wyatt. That's what bugs me about it. The whole thing doesn't really fit Bray Wyatt until they do the pre-film stuff.
Yes.
Then it'll be great.
Which I'm guessing will probably come after the Rumble when they start really focusing on the one-on-one aspect of this feud.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
I really hope so.
They'll have a moment in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it'll be on. Culminating at Mania.
Well, let's hope so. I'd be down with Mania for them trying to do a...
Final deletion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just don't... You don't need it in the ring. Just, you know, put it on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
do
see
it
here.
Kind of like House of Horrors where it starts on the screen and then they finish it off.
That'd be cool too.
Yeah.
I doubt they're going to do that because I think it didn't get a great reception. It got a great reception from me because
yeah,
I loved
it. You were one of the few who... But this is different. This is the Hardy compound and it's firmly tongue-in-cheek. It'll be different because House of Horrors is played pretty serious.
What show is Michael Hayes on? SmackDown?
Yeah.
Last we knew, SmackDown?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a bummer. I really want his hands on this. Anyways, next up, Elias. Ladies and gentlemen, Elias
Man,
Sampson.
he was shredding on the guitar.
And then what did he say?
Ripping off a solo.
What did he say to the people? He said something like, that was impressive, wasn't it? Or something like that. He says, pretty good, huh? Anyways, he did a song where he introduced The Miz.
Yeah.
Big news for Elias because Samoa Joe has been injured, apparently.
Yeah, he has a plantar fasciitis injury.
Yeah.
I guess he ruptured or something. I read it was only like a 2-week recovery time.
Oh, that's cool. Oh,
so he'll be back by the Rumble.
Oh, good. Okay. I love Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, Bayley's partner for the Mixed Match Challenge has been confirmed to be Elias.
That's great.
I love it. The only problem I have with it is that they've been doing all these awesome videos where the two participants are finding out.
Yeah.
Like, I think legitimately finding out this is their partner.
Well, one of them is finding out legitimately. The other person's been told. Like, Asuka knew that she was the Miz's partner, but the Miz didn't know.
See,
because she came out of the limo with the balloons.
Yeah.
Walked up to him, and Miz says, are you my partner? And she says, yes.
Okay.
So she knew in advance.
Okay. All right.
So I think one party generally knows in advance.
Unless she just knew that whoever they were going to be interviewing is going to be her partner. Because I don't think Alicia Fox and Goldust.
No, Alicia knew.
Oh, she knew?
She said, I'm going to go meet my partner, I thought, in the video last night.
She said, I'm going to meet my partner, but I think they told her, hey, it's that guy in there, because her reaction seemed to be,
Okay. Oh,
it's you, and she was all happy about it. It was super cute. These things are super cute, because they can't help but get out of character.
Did you watch the Nakamura Natalya one?
No, I didn't.
Apparently, he goes up to her and says, do you like cats? And she says, yeah, I like cats, and he says, meow.
Yes.
Read the transcript on Twitter.
Oh, that's great. I gotta watch that. Oh yeah, that's right, I forgot. Somebody in chat mentioned Elias was he sang a song about Elvis.
Oh.
So what's wrong with Elvis?
Oh yeah.
Anyways, he sang a song to introduce the Miz. I love Elias.
Oh, that was great.
God, I love him so much. He's so great. Next up, we had the returning Miz.
Yeah,
after
great.
7 weeks
haircut.
Gone. Yeah, he looked dapper as can be.
Mm-hmm.
A fire under his butt. Memphis was loving the Miz, man.
Yep.
I think, there's no choice for him these days. People are just going to like him, and
he
can do what he can do.
Yeah.
That's a great place to be at. Like, you're going to get a reaction regardless of what you're going to do, and it's going to be people enjoying your work, appreciating it.
Yeah. He was joined by the Miztourage, and they are both trying to show their appreciation to the Miz by showering him with gifts. Only one of them was planned. It was Bo Dallas presenting Miz with a framed picture of Miz. He gave it to him and said, I'm going to have trouble sleeping tonight without this.
And Miz's reaction.
What?
This was a great bit of comedic,
yeah.
right? Of comedic timing right here. Because you're right, the Miz just went, wait, what? And then right as he said that, before Bo could say anything, Curtis Axelrod gets jealous.
Says, I got you a gift too. And he takes his sports coat off. So I got you a brand new sport coat.
Yeah. Miz is just, he's just thoroughly confused.
And then Bo Dallas tries to give him his watch.
Yeah.
And Curtis Axel says, I got new shoes. Here's my shoes.
The great thing is when Bo Dallas gave him his watch, he didn't say this is like a golden Rolex. He says, I got you this great watch.
Yeah. And as Curtis Axel is trying to take off his shoes, Miz says, all right, when my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut.
Well, that was good, man. I thought it was really good.
And then Miz dropped a good promo about wanting to get his Intercontinental title back.
Yeah, it was a really, really good promo. He says, and it's that promo alone elevated the IC title because he started name dropping Bret Hart, HBK, Honky Tonk Man, Ultimate Warrior. And he said, with the kids coming up today, I want to be the only name they associate with the Intercontinental Championship. That's perfect.
That belt means so much to him.
That's great.
It elevates the title.
That is so great. Next up, we had the club backstage where Carl Anderson started listing off members of Bullet Club.
Yeah, Tama, Fale.
Yeah.
Some other references that I didn't get.
I think there was a reference to the Tokyo Pimp in there.
A reference to
I didn't get it. Look, man, we're kind of new to this stuff. There's a hilarious bit where Gallows talks about the unwed.
I don't remember.
I don't know what they were.
And then Carl Anderson said, you know.
Hold on. Everybody knows I've got a smoking hot Asian wife.
And then what did Gallows say?
Gallows says, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, hey, man. Their chemistry is great. Anyways, then Balor says, okay, guys, just chill out. You know, we gotta focus.
We have a
He says we have a real opportunity here to make 2018 the year of Balor Club. And then they all too sweet. And then Finn Balor throws up a big smile.
Oh, he's so happy. He can't contain it. He's so happy.
But I noticed that it's, I'm not going to say it's mechanical. I'm going to say that it's.
There seems like there's more to it than just him being really happy.
I get that. I think it's deliberate.
Well, I thought that too when, you know what, 3 weeks ago when he started coming out and smiling a lot more.
Yeah, right.
It's like this, he wasn't doing it.
Right.
Unless he had just heard some really good news right before he came out.
Yeah.
Then there's got to be something more to this.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've thought the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. But it is, to punctuate everything, he does that smile. And again, if they fold that into a tweener thing with the club where they clown people and they're, you know, badass. I'm not saying they cheat. I don't want them to cheat. I don't want to go down that route of being heels. But just good, solid faction work.
Yeah. Tweeners.
The sky's the limit, man. Yep. The sky's the absolute limit.
Tweeners.
Next up we got this brutal cruiserweight match.
Oh, man. Cedric beat the heck out of Enzo.
Oh, my gosh.
Enzo barely got any offense in during this match.
Yeah.
Cedric was dominating, busted Enzo open. Well,
that was a beautiful looking. I mean, if you're going to draw blood, that was like one of the coolest blood spots.
He didn't draw blood with the kick. He kicked him on the other side of the head. It was when I think Cedric was going for the pin. He was rocking his head back on the pinfall. Mm-hmm. I think his head hit Enzo's brow over here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They were trying to say it was a kick, but the kick hit him on this
side. I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, I was paying attention.
All right.
So Enzo was bleeding all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was a great look. There was like one shot of him getting up
and blood
it's just,
pouring
it's
down
just
his
right
face.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Enzo gets on the outside. Cedric does like a tope con hilo over the top rope, and it looked like Enzo's left ankle bent a little weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of the subsequent selling of the injury was work versus shoot, but the match ended right away. And based on Cedric Alexander's reaction, where it seemed like kind of happy, but somewhat, I won't say confused, but like if it was improv ending to the match to cover for an injury, it wouldn't surprise me.
We were talking about this off camera. We were talking about this during the pre-show because he was a goofy smile. Like he seemed happy, but he wasn't sure if he was supposed to be happy because it was a count out victory.
Yeah.
So it did seem like the kind of thing where it might have been like a hurry up, like a quick decision,
improvised decision. I haven't heard any solid info on Enzo's condition today.
Usually we'd hear, I mean, we heard about Joe by now, so usually we'd hear by now if that was real or not.
Yeah.
Real. I don't know. I'm kind of the opinion that it was probably not real. Enzo's reaction, I mean, it could be taken either way, I guess. A lot of people were freaked out, like, oh, my God. But then when I saw it, and I was like, and then I saw him in, like, the
well, the following segment.
The segment afterwards was in the trainer room.
Yeah, would they have?
Is there any precedent for them doing a segment like that after a real injury?
Here's the thing. I'm assuming the bloodletting wasn't scripted.
Oh, yeah. No, that wasn't scripted.
And then if there is a shoot injury that happens, will they be able to, in the span of a commercial break, so 2.5 minutes, say, okay, we're going to not do this backstage between you and Nia. We're going to the trainer room. Maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, I mean, Enzo seems like he's down for, you know, whatever. Yeah, can you do this? Yeah, I can do it. I kind of want to see that.
Oh, the show with Corey Graves?
Yeah.
And where he's Enzo. Eating an apple the whole time?
What is that thing called?
Straight to the source.
Straight to the source.
Straight from the source.
Bring it to the table.
It seems somewhat confrontational.
Yeah, I know. That's why I want to see it, man.
And the promo looked like Enzo got up and walked out.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
I fast forward through it, so I could be mistaken.
Okay.
I was looking to see if there's any more news on Enzo.
Okay. So anyways, Enzo is in the training room. Nia Jax comes up.
Checks in on him,
and then he says, I'm fine.
This is what Cage Side Seats has to say.
Okay.
This is a Raw Fallout video.
Oh, okay. Is that kayfabe or not?
Well, yeah, if it's on their YouTube channel, it is. Said he needs stitches and says he needs x-rays on his broken leg after Raw.
Well, that wasn't broken.
No, I don't think so, but it looked like he could have hurt himself.
I mean, they did what I figured they were going to do. If Cedric was supposed to win that legitimately, he could have just gone in there and got eaten the pin real quick.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to take a lumbar check on a broken leg, but
no.
I don't know, whatever. Anyways, I don't think Cedric's supposed to pick up that title last night. Let's see here. Next up, we had Kurt Angle backstage on the phone. Was this where he was saying, I know it's been years since you stepped in the WWE yes. ring, but I'd love to see you in the Women's Rumble.
Yes.
Speculate. Power rank. Power rank. Who?
Lita, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be good. Has it been years since she stepped foot in the WWE ring?
I think so.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, in a wrestling capacity, yeah.
Trish Stratus.
Another good choice.
There you go. Charlotte Flair.
Molly Holly.
There you go. Molly Holly.
Eve Torres.
Bella. JJ Bella. JJ Bella in the Women's Rumble. Anyways, T-Bar comes up to Kurt Angle after he's off the phone.
They want a rematch for the tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt says, you get rematch for tag titles at Rumble.
Yeah.
Sheamus says, well, why didn't you just say so?
Yeah.
And they won a competition tonight, so they had a match.
Titus Worldwide.
Yes. After that, The Miz walks in, says he has a new show on USA. He and Maurice do.
Is that going to be the It Couple?
No, it's called Miz and Mrs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think that's the show. I don't think it's going to be on E! I think it's going to be on USA Network.
Did they rename it from The It Couple?
I think so.
They didn't want to take my suggestion of The Ick Couple? Because the IC, get it?
No, I get it. He's not the Intercontinental Champion right now, so they can't do that.
He's the best Intercontinental Champion, though.
Perhaps. Speaking of the Intercontinental title, Miz wants his rematch.
At Raw 25, 25th anniversary show.
And Kurt says, great idea, you got it.
I know, I like how people come up to Kurt, like, mean, and they, like, suggest matches, then Kurt's like, oh, it's a good idea. Like, Kurt has no ideas of his own. It's all
Well, he
just,
had a main event for the show last
He didn't
night.
Even have a main event, I know.
When the show started. What He's booking heck? On the fly.
He really is, man. What is this? I mean, WWE is what they do.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see here. Next up,
Asuka and Alexa Bliss backstage.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss is trying to generate some fake drama between Asuka and Nia Jax. Not sure how I feel about that, but if it leads to a good feud between Nia Jax and Asuka, then I'm kind of cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexa Bliss is really good with really bad dialogue.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? She can take like a really bad script. Like Nia Jax can't do this. But Alexa Bliss can take a really bad script and do as good a job as literally anybody with
it.
I know.
The one exception is Bayley. This Is Your Life. No one could salvage that.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But some people could have made it much worse.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
As bad as it was.
It could have been worse.
She delivered it as well as it could have been delivered.
Yeah.
She's really good at that. It's
weird.
Yeah,
she is. Next, we had T-Bar versus Titus Worldwide.
Titus Worldwide. I love Dana Brooke, man. Yeah. She's great in this Alexandria York character thing. Mm-hmm. I just like her having something to do, and she seems to be having a good time.
Yes.
Titus got the roll-up on Sheamus.
For the win, I know.
For the win.
And this a pretty good match.
This was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this, I think, on Monday's show. They're giving Titus Worldwide this really low-level push. Like, Dana Brooke got a win over Mickey James
on main event,
and they made a big deal about it. This, they made a big deal about it because it was a surprise win. You didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lot of, I thought it was really cool. It was really fun. Next up, we had Paul Heyman
with Brock Lesnar for a promo. I just kind of felt like this is a pretty basic Paul Heyman.
This is a cookie cutter, man. Yeah. We're getting, yeah, there's too many.
I literally zoned out halfway through.
There's too many.
Largely.
I mean, really is it a matter? Are we taking him for granted? Maybe.
Could be.
But
I don't know. The bar is raised as high as it is for him, we've seen him do really awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
When we know he's out there and he's like, okay, I know I got to fill 10 minutes. Well, I guess I'll do this.
Right, yeah.
Sometimes it's not always. I mean, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't. You know, Heyman could do like transcendent promos.
Oh, I know.
And this just wasn't that.
Yeah.
It was pretty basic.
Yeah.
For as far as Heyman goes. After the promo, Brock and Paul walk up the ramp. Brock is attacked from behind by Kane. They fight down by the stage. They go backstage. They are joined in this brawl backstage by Braun Strowman. Braun throws Brock onto a table. A road case falls on Brock's shoulder, breaks the table.
Now, keep in mind also, once we go backstage, we're all of a sudden in like Martin Scorsese territory. We're talking cuts,
yeah,
close-ups.
Yeah, they had like at least six cameras.
Real film stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And then Braun throws an equipment case at Kane.
Yeah.
Those things are not light.
No, they're not. Yeah. And so he handle them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like no huge deal. So then he goes into another case, finds a grappling hook.
That was the best because that sentence right there, Braun finds a grappling hook
backstage at Raw,
is amazing. Why they would ever have a Batman style grappling hook. And he expertly chucks it 20 feet.
Yeah.
Up in the air, and it hooks
on
a giant...
Like a lighting truss.
Like, exactly.
A piece of stage, essentially.
Uh-huh. And he starts, like, pulling it, and everybody else is like, no, no, Braun.
And
like,
Heyman's losing his mind.
They go in close-up of him. No, Braun, don't do it. And the whole thing comes crashing down.
On top of Kane and Brock.
Oh, man, it was great.
What did we say yesterday?
You said it exactly.
We need more destruction.
And
we got that.
And that's exactly what I thought. I thought of your words last night when I saw it. I was like, well, they gave us more destruction. That's cool. Oh, it was great. It was fantastic. I loved it.
They got to keep up in the ante with Braun, too. At some point, he's got to like turn the entire arena over.
I know. Braun's the best.
He is the best.
He's the best. He needs to like stop a train. Like a train's going, and he just goes.
Just puts his hand out and stops.
This train is garbage. A grappling hook. Who'd have thought a grappling hook? Who thought, hey, Braun needs to bring down a big piece of stage. Should he push it?
Grappling hook.
No, grappling hook. Can we get a grappling hook?
We got one in a road case.
Why?
We got one in the archive.
Why? I don't know. Anyways, next up.
Samoa Joe versus Rhino. Of course, Samoa Joe dominated this match.
Yes.
One with the Coquina Clutch. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, he gave an interview announcing his participation in the Royal Rumble and said that he wants a piece of John Cena. He wants to personally eliminate John Cena from the Rumble.
Are we getting Samoa Joe versus Cena?
It seems like it, yeah.
Whoa. I'm very happy about this.
He referenced their past.
I'm happier about this than I would have been John Cena versus Taker.
Yeah.
Versus who else do we say? Goldberg.
Batista.
Give me Samoa Joe Cena. Because I think Samoa Joe is probably going to win.
Yeah.
And the promos are going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
The build is going to be great.
We did find out today that Samoa Joe, we talked about earlier, suffered some sort of foot injury during this match. Hopefully they won't keep him out of action for too long. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere 2 weeks. So if he is rest, rehab, he has to wear a walking boot.
Yeah.
So hopefully 2 weeks he can still maybe show up on TV for promos.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's not a mouth injury. He can still talk.
True.
Speaking of which, he landed a role.
Oh, in a Transformers animated series.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill. Ron Perlman are also part of the cast.
I love Ron
Perlman. Ron Perlman's pretty awesome,
He's the best, dude. Oh, you met him.
I did get to meet him once, yeah.
Nice. Let's see here. Next up, we had Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss backstage. Alexa Bliss says, Nia, Asuka said something rude about you. And Nia said, what did she say? And she said, I don't want to tell you because it'll hurt your feelings. And Nia said, just tell me. And so she whispered to Nia Jax what Asuka said. And Nia Jax says, she said, do you speak Japanese? And Alexa said, no. And she said, well, Asuka doesn't speak English, and walked away, insinuating that you just made that up to try to cause drama between us.
Yes. Also, Nia announced that she's going to be in the Rumble.
Oh, I threw my phone over there.
Yeah, no phone for you.
Asuka had a great tweet today, though.
Oh, what'd she say?
Well, she wrote something to Nia Jax in Japanese. Nia Jax said something like, I don't know what you just said. And then Asuka wrote back, you stole all my snacks. I'm going to beat you up. And then, like, emojis of donuts and hot dogs and stuff. so rude. That's messed up. You stole all my snacks. I'm going to beat you up now. Love Asuka. She's the best.
Speaking of Asuka, she was coming down to the ring for a match against local enhancement talent.
Yeah.
But instead, she was attacked from behind by Nia Jax.
Well, it was weird. It was like, it was an attack, kind of. But it was like, so she was up on the turnbuckle thing, doing her thing where she takes off her mask. And then all of a sudden, and, you know, the camera's on close-up. And then all of a sudden, the camera goes wide, and she's on Nia Jax's shoulders.
Yeah.
So Nia Jax evidently is a changeling who was the corner post.
No. Oh, okay, the corner post. I thought you said Asuka's opponent, but we saw Asuka's opponent run up the ramp.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, that's great.
As soon as Nia Jax got in the ring, she got out of there.
That's rad. So, yeah, that was kind of cool. Like, Nia Jax just appeared under Asuka and then gave her a back body. No, what? Just
like a drop. Electric chair drop.
There you go, electric chair, yeah.
And then did her somersault senton on top of it.
And Asuka was left writhing in pain.
Yes.
It was good, man. I want to see this.
It was good. They're setting up all these stories to be told in the Rumble.
Oh, I love the Rumbles.
And it's good. Our main event, Balor Club versus New Shield or Champions Club.
Balor Club.
That's what Jason Jordan dubbed.
Mm-hmm.
This loose alliance.
Wait, what did he call it?
Champions Club.
Yeah, that's right. He said that in the open.
Yeah.
And they like totally gave
him. I think Seth did this.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And I think that was the impetus for Gallows calling him a nerd. Because Champions Club is the nerdiest thing.
It is. So for New Shield, it was Seth and Roman handling most of the business. Jason Jordan, I don't know if he ever got tagged in during this match.
I don't remember.
But towards the end, Jason Jordan is trying to do something in the ring while in the ring. He's not the legal man.
Yeah.
While Seth tags Roman, but since Jason Jordan's in the ring, it's distracting the ref.
Right, right.
So the ref doesn't see the tag. And so while the ref is busy getting Roman out of the ring, Gallows and Anderson hit the magic killer on Seth.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan again just comes in the ring randomly, tries to pick up Seth. Seth doesn't see Finn coming after him for the drop kick. Finn hits drop kick. Coup de grace. Balor Club picks up the win.
Yeah. I loved it, man. That's the kind of win. Like, it wasn't cheating. A little bit on the dirty side.
Taking advantage of opportunity.
Tactical.
Yes.
Tactician, as you like to say. But a real fevered pace. I always love that. Whenever like a heel faction like that, and I'm not saying they're a heel faction or like a tweener faction, but when there's, you can always kick it into that sense of urgency gear.
Yeah.
That it's always just more exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And usually that's more associated with like a heel tweener type thing.
I will say this about the club, about Gallows and Anderson. I still feel like they're booked a little weak. They're a little too bumbling for my taste.
Yeah.
They still have a little bit of that carryover from what they were doing previously.
It can't be a 180. You know.
No, I understand.
They need to bring them along.
And make them week by week a bit more dominant.
Let Anderson get a pin here and there. It can't always be Balor getting the pin.
I know. And they should all come out together. The three of them come out to Balor's music.
Mm-hmm.
All design a new Balor Club shirt for all of them to wear.
Oh yeah,
maybe that's
sure.
In the works.
They need to get rid of the nerd meter.
Yes.
They need to get rid of that.
Yeah.
It's even on their trunks now.
Yeah.
What happened to all the two sweets? They're two sweet left and right these days. Go back to all the two sweets.
Agreed.
But no, I agree. Like a Balor Club shirt. They had that cool gas mask type thing. They just need to make that a bit more, you know, dirty, a bit more vintage looking, a little cooler,
a little rougher, grittier.
Grittier. Thank you. Grittier. Yeah.
You want to answer some questions, Steve?
Yeah, didn't we have some packing?
Oh, yeah, they're still in the back of my car.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I can run and get them real fast.
Nah. We'll just open them tomorrow. We got like two more of these recaps to do this week. First up from CM Punk finds it insulting. Which fictional pro wrestler would win in a shoot fight? Thunder Lips from Rocky, Bonesaw from Spider-Man, or Jeff Jarrett from WCW? I assume he means the fictionalized version of Jeff Jarrett from Ready to Rumble. Well, Bonesaw, if you remember, was Randy Savage.
Yeah, Thunder Lips was Hogan.
Bonesaw got beat by Spider-Man, who was a super amateur pro wrestler.
Yeah.
He was a super amateur junior, too.
Yes.
So I'm going to say Thunder Lips.
Yeah, it's got to be Thunder Lips.
It's Thunder Lips.
It's Thunder Lips.
For one thing, he's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Kayfabe-wise, he was like one of the most powerful guys ever.
Jack Dolan, how awesome is it to see Finn, Gallows, and Anderson having fun out there?
It's so awesome, you're going to two-sweep me right now.
I'm not. But I will say their fun is very infectious. It's definitely for real.
Let's see here. Do you think? Oh, Nemo. Do you think the way Roman holds the title is disrespectful to the belt? And would he? This is kind of the bigger question.
Yeah.
When he wins the Universal title, is he going to do the same thing with that?
I think that's the tell. If he carries the Universal title. Like, here's the thing. When he won the U.S. Championship after he was punished. It was
punishment, yeah.
And he carried it like that. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Because I get it when, like, Neville would do it. He's a heel. He's supposed to be disrespectful to the belt to an extent. You know, he really prizes the belt. Roman as a face isn't supposed to be disrespectful to the title. But then I thought about it. Well, maybe he's just carrying it like that's his... Like his work bag.
Mm-hmm.
Carry it over your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't wear your bag that you carry your work gear with. This is a really weird kind of analogy.
Okay.
Or whatever. On the front, it's on your back.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why. So I'm trying to look at it now.
All right.
Thinking. But if he wears the Universal title around his waist, then yeah, it's being kind of shitty.
Right. Yeah, he's gonna have to sling the Universal over.
As
his
long as he's consistent, then I guess it's fine.
Yeah. Retroactively, when it'll
he
be disrespectful.
Won, when he was champ. WB champ before, would he ever wear it around his waist? Would he carry it over his shoulder with the
I think he did it properly, like over the shoulder. I'm pretty sure the faceplate was forward. I think the reason that everybody pointed out the United States title,
even Mick Foley corrected him,
is because it was the first time he did that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, everybody knew he was still kind of being punished.
Yeah.
And so it almost felt like he was either self-conscious or he was being a bit rebellious with his punishment.
Yeah.
Saying, this is trash. I'm going to sling it over here. The thing that I'm okay with is the fact that when he comes out, he raises it high. He holds it high. He kissed it when he kept it from in the Samoa Joe match. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. The Universal Championship, I hope he does the same thing with that. I hope he does.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if that's his thing, that's his thing.
Yeah. As long as he's consistent at this point.
Yeah. And as long as he shows in some manner that he's like,
hey. The belt is important to him.
I mean, you know, Stone Cold used to come out. He just used to hold it in his hands like it
he used
was
to throw it in the ring.
And he used to throw it in the ring. I mean, that was all awesome, but I'm just saying he didn't exactly respect the title.
But he had his own belt made. He had the Smoking Skull belt. That was his belt. He can do what he wants with his belt.
Good point. Dan Boss, Power Rank, other upsets that could come out of nowhere. Like Titus.
Kurt Hawkins beating anybody at this point.
That'd be a huge, that's going to be upset of the year right there.
Yep.
You think he's going to go, he's going to get a win in 2018 in WWE? I mean, if he gets released, he can go beat Grimm or something.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes too.
Yeah. Pre-show to some pay-per-view, he'll get a win.
Hype up main event.
Yeah.
With Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah, he can be the star of main event.
He should do a program just on his iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he says...
This way, he says, I have to face the facts. I'm no good.
And he's going to say,
crisis of confidence.
I either win on this upcoming episode of Main Event or I'm quitting.
I give myself 90 days.
Yeah.
Something like that. So you have.
And on day 90.
If I have not won by then,
yeah,
I will face the facts that I'm a terrible WWE wrestler and I will quit.
I'll go back to Grimm. And on day 90, he wins.
Yes. There you go.
And he wins by beating the debuting Grimm. Let's see here.
Power Rank. This is from Manuel Garcia de Paredes.
Mm-hmm.
Neat things Braun has done. What is the neatest thing Braun has done?
I think bursting out of the back of that garbage truck and being in an all of a sudden like instant monster movie with The Miz. To me, that's the neatest thing he's done.
It's either that or SummerSlam when he dumped Brock through two announce tables.
Yeah, that was neat. That was really neat.
That's because we'd never seen Brock manhandled like that.
There was the ambulance, too.
Yeah, that's great.
Great.
Shoving Roman while on the stretcher off that kind of stage-type thing backstage.
So kind of related to that question.
Oh, following the garbage truck thing,
mm-hmm.
when he sprinted across the roof of a car onto like that landing, chasing after Miz and Miztourage.
Anytime he goes full sprint.
Oh, it's outstanding.
Related to that question, Return of the Zach asks, what else should Braun push or pull over? Because this was pretty shocking.
Yeah.
Because the magnitude of it was so big. I'm going to say like the, you know, it'd be cool if at Raw 25, they... For the Manhattan Center, they have the retro Titantron, like the old school Titantron.
Oh no, let's go back to the RAW letters.
Yeah, if he brings those down,
yeah,
to sort of signify, hey, yeah, this is our past, but this is our future right here.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
I want him to go inside one of the production trucks and just tear it apart.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then tip the whole truck over.
Those are pricey.
I know.
Those are super pricey.
Let's get one of the old ones they used to use. I think they just got like five new ones.
Yeah.
Not long ago.
You know what'd be cool is if they did an angle, some sort of angle. Because, you know, Braun's going to get so big at some point, he's going to have some interaction with Vince.
Yeah.
Vince arrives in his limo before he even gets a chance to get out.
Braun eats the limo.
Or tips it over. Either way is good.
KitchenAid Cruiserweight Champ Ed. Hey, friendos, just want to say thank you for all the great programming. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Power Rank, the top five attempts at murder in the WWE.
Okay, so, wow. Brian Pillman's gun is probably number one in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God.
That was shocking.
Stone Cold, like, breaking in. It was like, yeah, it was filmed like it was all messed up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that's number one. Didn't Hogan... No. Yeah. When Hogan and Big Show, or the Giant...
Oh, the...
Didn't somebody get dumped overboard or over like a...
Cliff or something, right?
Cliff into the water? Like,
yeah.
It was like a parking structure or something into the water?
Yeah.
That's got to be attempted murder right there. Yeah. That's number two.
Braun in the garbage truck.
Yeah.
That's pretty major.
Because it was like Superman 3.
Yeah.
When Superman 3 tried to kill Clark Kent. Number.
There's going to be something with Austin and McMahon.
Well, somebody tried to literally blow up Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
So that's high. That's got to be high up there.
There too.
In explosives in a car. I mean, he was in the car. Huge. So, yeah.
Pretty much any buried alive match. You're trying to kill somebody there.
Oh, yeah. Undertaker. Undertaker did die because he came back as Dead Man from Big Evil.
Yeah.
There you go. It's five. Five good ones.
The cat, Daryl Takahashi, is Gallows name-dropping Tama Tonga and Bad Luck Fale the closest WWE will get to mentioning the Bullet Club? How many times did Corey Graves say the Elite?
Oh, we forgot to mention that.
At least five times.
He said the word Elite so many times. Yeah. I think he literally at one point called them the Elite.
They said they got together for 10 years to become the Elite.
Yeah. Yeah. Often imitated. Never. So they're really hammering home. We have the Bullet Club. We have the original Bullet Club. I mean, I love it. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. You have them. That's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Here comes Bullet Club, man. No, they're called Balor Club now, Booker. Nah, man, Bullet Club. Let's see here. Jonathan Reiner wants us to give the early predictions for winners of the Mixed Match Challenge.
I would think the front runners right now are Braun and Alexa, and then Miz and Asuka.
Yeah, I was going to say Asuka and Miz, but yeah, Braun and Alexa is good too. Although I could see Alexa messing up. With Alexa, it's going to be her issue of like just being too... I mean, the same thing could be said about Miz and Asuka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they don't necessarily have to be on the same page. Mr. Sinister, are we looking at a slow Finn heel turn, or is he now in tweener area? I think they're going to establish him firmly in a
Hopefully
tweener.
Hopefully it's a tweener.
Yeah. Ooh, here we go. Antti Hamalainen. I'm so sorry for botching your name. Do you believe the club will actually achieve something big in 2018? I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they're going to go to SmackDown, pick up the WWE title and the tag titles.
Yes.
And somehow still convince AJ Styles to join them.
Nightcrawler. Hey, guys. So in a recent video, you said you doubt that New Japan is petty at all, which is true, but they definitely hold grudges like they did with Shibata for a long time. They held him down because he left New Japan before they forgave him. So my question is, if any talent like AJ, Carl Finn, or Shinsuke returned to New Japan, would they be held down or punished? He says, I don't know about the rest, but I think for sure they'd hold a grudge against Nakamura.
Okay, so I should actually retract that statement because I don't know enough to know if they would be petty or not. I just don't know, so I should not have spoken on that. So I shouldn't really answer this question. But I don't know. I would kind of doubt it. If you're looking to sign somebody, hey, you're coming back. It's not like they're going back home to like their house and their parents are pissed off at them. You know, it's like this is a business deal.
Yeah,
you're signing this guy because you think you can use him. You're gonna, you know.
Yeah, if you
he's
think
never going to want to stay there.
If you think bringing Finn or AJ back is going to help your business, then you'll do that.
I just think it wouldn't make any business sense to like punish them.
Broken Steve, how long before Seth and Roman take out Jason Jordan?
Oh, it's going to be great. But I think it's going to be the other way. I think Jason Jordan's going to take out Seth.
Yeah, I think they're going to lose the tag titles at the Rumble. And Seth is going to be frustrated. And Jason Jordan's going to respond with blows.
Yep. A.O. Worm, how are they going to have the 25th episode of Raw in two buildings? There's going to cut back and forth between the two locations. WrestleMania 2 did that?
Three locations. Yeah. Chicago, L.A., and New York, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Oh, wow, controversial statement here. Question from Gustavo Gama. How come Larson believes in the flat earth theory in 2018? Is it true? True or not? Larson, yay or nay, truth, flat earther.
Truth exposed, I am not a flat earther. The earth is very much round.
I want to watch that Daniel Bryan AJ Styles exchange again on Talking Smack, where Daniel Bryan starts clowning. AJ was a heel at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Daniel starts clowning him for being a flat earther.
Oh, yeah.
AJ's like, I'm not a flat earther. I just think there are some things that should be questioned. And I don't know if Daniel Bryan was really trying to clown him.
I don't know,
but it was that's really funny.
Unless there's something to it, that's an obscure reference to make. And that's good for AJ to kind of play along.
I know.
That's pretty funny.
Heel, I mean, that's a great heel gimmick to have. Or part of your heel
like
gimmick.
Conspiracy theorist.
Or you're a flat earther in general. You know?
That's probably back when, you know, like the flat earth thing came back in the news.
Yeah, like pro
Kyrie
athletes.
Kyrie Irving was talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so weird.
Hacksaw Book Read. What are the chances on Raw 25 to get some interaction between the club and Hall and Nash?
What's bigger than 100%?
101%.
101% to infinity. That's what it is.
Some interaction. Will we get a two suite?
Yeah, it's going to be two suite city, man. Yeah. There's going to be so many two suites going on there. And that's what we're going to use for our thumb, too.
Yeah.
Is just whatever, when all those
entire
hands.
Click, all Balor Club, in ring, two suiting.
They're all going to be two suiting.
Liam Wagner, power rank. This is a good question to end on before we do play per view. Which WWE superstar should replace Jim Carrey in the Ace Ventura Pet Detective Rhino birth scene? It wasn't birth. It was his buttocks. It was his rear end.
Yeah, he came out of the butt like it was poo-poo.
Who should replace Jim Carrey? Enzo Amore.
That's a good one. I like that.
Drew Gulak.
What if it's this? That's actually a good one. What if it's Finn doing the Finn freeze? So he just comes out stiff.
Or just comes out and says, Real.
One last one from Jason the Cabbie. He says, again, we this week have small details that took me out of things completely. This time, we need to give Jason the Cabbie his own Andy Rooney type segment.
I know.
Have you ever noticed? He says, this time it was Matt Hardy still having the Hardy Boys Titantron.
Yeah, that was bogus.
Even though everything else in his entrance was brand new. So would you rather have a gimmick that was terrible but completely fleshed out, or one that was good and gets over but has subtle things missing about it, making it feel kind of half-assed?
A lot of things WWE...
They can fix the latter one. They can fix the little things. They'll fix that.
I hope so. It seems like a lot of stuff at WWE is a work in progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, first step, let's get the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are we going to do with the Tron? I don't know. We'll worry about that next. Let's get the music first. That's what it feels like.
It's a big production.
I know. I mean, you can go back to Finn and the club. Like, how come they don't come out together?
Yeah.
I kind of understand the club wearing their own shirts because they have their own merch they need to sell.
Yeah.
They get a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
So until they get a Balor Club shirt that's for all three of them.
Yeah.
I understand. Get the nerd meter off the ring
get
gear.
Get that off the ring gear. But get the shirts, nerd meter. Just get that away.
No, the shirts I get for now. The shirts I get for now.
If they sell, that's great.
Yeah, that's
if they sell, that's great. Anyways, we're going to do play-per-view now.
Yeah, right? We're going to do some ECW.
I have to get my phone for play-per-view.
ECW House Party.
Okay, so what is play-per-view, Larson?
We find two pay-per-views, the same number of matches, and we guess who won which match. I'm doing House Party 98.
Okay. I'm doing House Party. Is it ECW?
House Party.
You're doing 90. Okay, I'll do 97.
How many matches are there?
There are, jump to 97.
Be careful, though.
I know. I'm not on 90. There are 10 matches.
I have 9, so let's skip the first one.
I'll skip the first one. The first one, just so you know, was Sandman and Raven. For your bonus point, who won?
Sandman.
Very good. You don't get a bonus point.
Oh, darn.
Okay.
I'll go first.
You go first.
First match, House Party, 98. FBI versus Axel Rotten, Balls Mahoney, and Tommy Dreamer.
Was it, oh, okay. They don't have a trios title. The faces, Tommy Dreamer and all
yes.
that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
In the first match. In a singles match, Louis Spicoli versus Chris Candido.
Candido.
Very good.
Speaking of Chris Candido, he took on Jerry Lynn.
This was 90. Oh, Jerry Lynn.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a singles match, Spike Dudley versus Mikey Whipwreck.
It was 97, right?
Yes.
Mikey.
Very good.
Next, Gran Hamada versus Gran Nanoa.
Oh, no. Hamada.
Yeah.
Okay. Tag team match for the ECW World Tag Team Championships. The champions, the Eliminators, the team of John Cronus and Perry Saturn, took on the challengers, Axel Rotten and D-Von Dudley.
Oh, Eliminators.
Yeah. A weird mashup tag team.
Of
course they're going to lose.
Amish Roadkill versus Al Snow.
This is 98?
Yeah.
Al Snow was still around 98? He was on his way. It had been Amish Roadkill.
No, it was Al Snow.
Wow. Ooh. The game's afoot. A tag team match. The Gangstas, Mustafa Syed and New Jack, took on Ricky Morton and Tommy Rich.
I would think the Gangstas would have to win that one.
You would think correctly.
Next, the Great Sasuke versus Just Incredible.
Just Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, they're pushing that early. It's weird. So after that match, after the Gangstas versus Ricky Morton and Tommy Rich, Tommy Rich and Ricky Morton had a match.
Oh, against each other?
Yeah.
Ricky Morton.
Tommy Rich.
Damn.
All right.
RVD versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
RVD.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, man, you're the lead now.
Well, this next one, Matt, evens it up, so.
Well, if I get it right.
Balls Mahoney versus Mike Awesome.
This is 97?
Yeah.
Mike Awesome.
Yeah. I didn't realize Mike Awesome was around that
early. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But he wasn't going to lose.
Too Cold Scorpio.
Okay.
Versus Taz.
Oh, Taz.
Yeah.
Okay. In a singles match. Pitbull number 2 versus Bubba Ray Dudley.
Bubba.
This isn't fair. It was a no contest.
Oh.
You got that first bonus one right,
okay,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you get this
all
one.
All right. Next, the Dudley brothers, and that's all the Dudleys.
Okay.
Versus the Gangstanators. So that's the Eliminators and
the Gangstas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. It's Bubba Ray, D-Von, Big Dick. Versus, it says here, Cronus, New Jack, and Spike Dudley.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say the Dudleys.
Yeah.
Okay. In a singles match, Terry Funk versus Primetime Brian Lee.
Oh, Funk had to win that.
Primetime
really?
Brian Lee.
Shocking.
Won that.
Sabu versus Sandman in a Stairway to Hell match.
Oh, wow. Sabu versus, why is this a toss up? I'll say Sabu won.
No, Sandman won.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So how many did you finish with?
I have 7.
Oh, I have 6.
All right, so this could tie it up. In a singles match for the ECW World Television Championship, the champion, Shane Douglas, versus Pitbull number one.
Pitbull number one.
Very good.
Tie.
Very good. It was by count out. So yes. The title didn't actually, wow, I would have said Shane Douglas. Cool. Tie.
Well, tie.
Nobody won. Nobody wins, baby. Anyways. Hilton, can we get some music? Thanks, Hilton. What a great guy that Hilton is. He's going to be joining us for our Rumble live stream.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Anyways, that's it for now. Thanks for watching, everybody. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hilton out.